Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. Well, this is why we've come, dear Lord. We are ready for your word. God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We stand ready for your word. Father, I pray now that you would give preaching power and listening power so that we can leave being impacted by the life-giving, life-changing power of the word of God. We ask you to have your way today, and that as we hear your word, we would be challenged to step up to do even greater things for you, for your glory, the good of others, and for ourselves. Move now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All of us have been called at one time or another in life. Whether it was a phone call or someone verbally called you or maybe non-verbally motioned for you to come to them. And whenever anybody calls you, you have to make a decision as to whether or not you will respond and how you will respond. I'm old enough to remember black and white TVs long before color TVs came on the scene. Some of you can identify. You remember we would get that little rainbow film and put it on the cover of that black and white TV. I don't know what we thought we were doing. I guess we thought we would have built-in color. And I remember in particular when I was a kid, before we got remote control television, I was the remote control. I would be in the other room playing or maybe be outside playing, and I would hear my grandmother call, and she would say, come here. And I'd be like, yes, and she'd tell me, come on in. And then she'd say, turn that channel for me right there. And so I start flipping that channel. You remember them old TVs, man, when you went past the station, you had to go all the way back around to get to it, and you had them rabbit ears with the aluminum foil on there. Yeah. So anyway, I get called in, and here's what I understood. When my grandparents called me, right, first of all, there was no huh in the answer, right? If you say huh, they'd be like, what? Oh, if you can huh, you can hear. What you mean, huh? And then, of course, you better change your tune real quick. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. And then you would come in to the room to do what needed to be done. Now, you may have thought in your mind, what you want? Why are you calling me? Why are you bothering me? But it never got outside of your mind, right? Because you knew it was a health hazard if it moved from your mind to your lips. Whenever they called, I knew that I had to answer. I knew I had to respond. But my brothers and sisters, let me share something with you. There is a moment in life that is even more significant than responding to a grandparent or to a parent when they call your name. What do you do when God calls you? How do you respond when God calls you to follow him? See, I would argue today that the only thing in life more tragic than not hearing when God is speaking to you is when you hear God and you still don't answer. Today, for a few moments on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to kick off a series entitled How to Become a Great Person for a Great God. And the reason I want to share this series with you is because I believe there's greatness in all of us. Here's the problem. We try to find greatness apart from and separate from the one who created us. And if we're going to really walk in the greatness that is in us, if we're really going to fulfill our potential in God, if we're going to walk in God's purpose for our lives, then we can't do it apart from him. We have to do it with him. I want to start off this series today by talking to you from the thought, how to answer God's great call on your life. How to answer God's great call on your life. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Four things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will help you to recognize that God is calling each of us to do what he has commissioned and created us to do. The challenge now is not whether or not God is calling. The question is, are you listening and are you moving to the call that God is making? Here's the first thing I want you to see if you're going to answer God's great call on your life. Number one, you must hear when the Lord speaks to you. It's real simple, but it's right here in the text. You must hear when the Lord speaks to you. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, underline that phrase, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. These brothers are busy doing what they are called to do, what they do to make a living. They are fishermen. It was in that day and time when sons would typically follow in the father's footsteps in terms of vocational choice. There weren't guidance counselors back then to find out what you were passionate about doing and what you had a dream of doing. If your daddy was a carpenter, you became a carpenter. If your daddy was a tax collector, well, chances are you were going to be a tax collector. And if your daddy was a fisherman, you were a fisherman. And the evidence suggests that their father was a fisherman because their two sons, brothers, were fishermen. Bible says that Peter, Simon, and Andrew, they were casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen, and Jesus initiates contact with them. Here's what's important for you to understand. They did not find Jesus. The Lord found them. And the Lord initiated by grace his call on their life. Here's what I've learned in life. God doesn't call lazy people. God doesn't call do nothing, going nowhere people to follow him. Matter of fact, if you've ever been challenged to follow God and your claim was, I'm busy, I've got too much stuff going on, you are exactly who God is trying to call. Because God does not call people who have empty time on their schedules. God is looking for people who are working. Funny story, true story. I'm doing a retreat for a Chinese church up at Trinity Pines. A friend of mine, David Hsu, we were in school together, and so he asked me to come and do the retreat for him. And so I'm standing there, and this retreat, they're gathering, and I'm waiting for the session to start, and it's a couple of minutes late, Brother Thomas. It's a couple of minutes late, you know, and I'm a time person, right? I want to respect time because God is an on-time God. I think we ought to be an on-time people. And so I'm standing there, but of course I don't want to be rude because I'm the guest. And I'm like, well, if it's not bothering him, I guess it shouldn't be bothering me. So it's about 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late. And David says to me, he says, man, these people get on my nerves. They always on CP time. Now my tone kind of shifted. You know, I said, huh? What you mean they on CP time? So I said, CP time? He said, yeah, they're always on Chinese people time. Always on Chinese people time. So I chuckled, and then I said to him, I said, David, I said, man, let me ask you a question. I said, man, you know, I'm from New York. I said, and you know, there's a number of Chinese people there who have come, immigrants who have come to New York. And I said, man, I'm always marveling at how industrious your people are and how hardworking they are. I said, man, I go to a Chinese restaurant, for example, little hole in the wall, man, but they're delivering food in the day, they prepping and cooking all afternoon and evening, and I noticed I saw cots in the back, man, they were sleeping in the back, and I was like, man, where do y'all get that work ethic from? And he said, what work ethic? I said, man, to work that hard. I said, man, every Chinese American that I know, every immigrant I know, they work hard. He said, DZ, he said, man, we don't work hard. He said, you just see the hardworking Chinese people in the U.S. All the lazy Chinese people are still in China. So Someone in here listening right now, here's what I need you to understand. The Lord doesn't call people who are wasting time or have time. When God calls you, he calls you from something to something. And the choice that you have to make is not waiting till I have nothing to do something for God. God says, no, I need you to choose between your program and my purpose for your life. Somebody got your sermon all ready for today. He says, you've got to learn how to make a choice. Someone listening today, the Lord is calling you to follow him. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read it together. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. See, the danger is not that God isn't speaking. The danger is a hardened heart that won't listen. Matthew 11, 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. See, Jesus emphasizes in this verse that hearing is both physical and spiritual. Everyone can hear, or most of us can hear physically, but not everyone listens spiritually. He says you've got to learn how to listen to what God is saying. It's like having a phone and your phone is on silent and somebody called you but you missed the call because your phone was on silent. The problem wasn't that your phone didn't work. The problem wasn't that the call wasn't made. The problem was you weren't in the position or prepared to hear it. And so if you're going to hear God, somebody today might need to slow down in your life. Somebody else, you may need to silence some of the competing voices. Because there's some voices that are speaking, listen carefully, that you've given the same credibility in your life that you've given God's voice. And how many of you know every voice should not be treated the same? Come on, if you've got a sibling or two or cousin or family member, you know when they said something, it wasn't the same as when mama or daddy said it. And if they really wanted to try to flex a little bit, they would say, well, mama said, because they knew their voice didn't have credibility like mama's voice did. God doesn't have a problem speaking. We just have a problem listening. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Number two. You must intentionally decide to obey what the Lord commands you to do. I want you to circle that word intentionally. You must intentionally decide to obey what the Lord commands you to do. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 4, and he said to them, follow me. Stop right there. Follow me. Jesus said, follow me. It's in the imperative mood, which means it's a command. It's not a suggestion. Jesus didn't disregard their identity. He understood who they were. Jesus said, I just need to redirect you from what you are doing now to what I am calling you to do, because your ultimate fulfillment in life is not going to come hauling in nets, fishing for fish. Jesus says, follow me. Now, here's what's interesting. Following him required the willingness to leave some stuff behind. They had to leave some nets behind. They had to leave some livelihood behind. They had to leave some identity behind. Because, you know, especially for men, many times we define ourselves in terms of who we are by what we do. They had to leave their identity behind. They had to leave their security behind. They had to be willing to leave and to trust God and what God wanted them to do. If the Lord told you right now, follow me. No. God is saying right now, follow me. What is it that's keeping you from following God? Whether you make the choice consciously or subconsciously or unconsciously, every one of us has to make a choice. Are we going to follow, and to what degree are we going to follow? Right? Look at Luke 9, 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Hebrews 11, verse 8, let's read it together. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Can I tell you something real simple I've learned? You can't follow new directions and go where you've never gone if you refuse to leave where you currently are. Now, y'all, that's real simple, and I know you understand it physically. Here's what I need you to understand. That principle applies mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You cannot get where God wants you to be if you refuse to leave where you are. You cannot get a new mindset if you're going to hold on to the old way of thinking. You can't move forward in your walk with God spiritually if you determine to stay where you've always been. And here's the truth of the matter. Most of us don't want to change what we do. We just want to change what we get. So we want God to bless us where we are instead of moving to where God is blessing. Some of us are stuck because we hear God but don't move. Some of us are stuck because of delayed obedience. And I need you to understand, delayed obedience is still disobedience. You can't follow Jesus and go where the Lord wants you to go and keep on holding on to your nets at the same time. Here's the third thing. Number three, you must intentionally allow yourself to be changed by the Lord. Now, this is painful right here for many of us. You've got to intentionally allow yourself to be changed by the Lord. Look at what the text says, Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, follow me, be part, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I want you to underline that phrase, I will make you. I will make you indicates divine transformation. This is not a call to self-development. This is not a call to come up with a plan on how to better yourself. Here's what the Lord says. If you do what I say do, follow me, then I will make you into who you need to become. If you don't want to follow me, then all bets are off. And there's somebody in here right now. Here's what God is trying to tell you on this Resurrection Sunday. The same power that raised Jesus can raise you. But that power cannot raise you unless you are willing to submit yourself to allow God to work on you, because watch this, what you've been trying to do for yourself hasn't really worked out that well. I was watching a documentary not long ago on Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks, the director who directed classics like Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles, and, you know, comedic genius, at least believed to be by many. And they were showing him throughout his entire life, how he started writing for Sid Caesar on the Show of Shows, and how he just progressed, and how he became a movie producer and wrote and directed movies, The Producers and other movies. And then that movie went on to star on Broadway. And what was interesting to me was one of the last scenes, Carl Reiner, who was the father of Rob Reiner, great comedian in his own right, great writer, he and Mel Brooks were great friends. And Jerry Seinfeld goes over to see him. And they said every night, Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks would have dinner at Carl Reiner's house. Said after Mel Brooks' wife, Ann Bancroft, died, he would go and have dinner with Carl and Carl's wife. And then Carl's wife died, and he and Carl Reiner would have dinner sitting in front of a TV with TV tables watching Jeopardy together every night. And Jerry Seinfeld said, this is amazing, at the end of your life, the greatest thing you can do is sit in a recliner in front of a TV with your best friend with a TV tray, ordering out and watching Jeopardy. Now here's what hit me, y'all. Call me strange, but here's what hit me. After making millions of dollars, after your name being known all around the world, after people honoring you with Oscars and Emmys and all this stuff, here are two men who come to the end of their life, and the best time they have in life is sitting in front of a TV with a TV tray, eating a deli sandwich, watching Jeopardy every night. I know somebody's looking at me like that, like, what does that have to do with this message? Listen, the greatest time you will have in your life is when you walk in God's purpose for your life. Because everything else will fade away. Y'all, somebody, you may have lived long enough, but guess what, man, that house that you're trying to pay for, somebody else is going to have it when you're gone. The fussing and fighting you have over the tiles and the trash not being out and the toilet paper rolling over instead of under and all that, none of that's going to matter. The old song said it best, only what you do for Christ will last. Because it will impact time and it will transfer into eternity. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you into what I want you to be. Participation is your part. Transformation is God's work. And God said, if you submit yourself to me, I'll change you. See, we try to change, but man, it's hard to change yourself. Yeah, matter of fact, it's hard to live with yourself. And I'm talking about if you're single, it's hard to live with yourself. Forget if you're married, that's two people hard to live with. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's read Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 together. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God wants to finish what he has started in your life. Listen, a caterpillar doesn't become and turn into a butterfly overnight. It must go through a process. And my brothers and my sisters, all of us have to go through a process. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Stop resisting what God is trying to do. Stop quitting when it gets uncomfortable. Start learning how to become comfortable in being uncomfortable. Stop running when God starts reshaping you. Here's what I've learned. Growth requires submission. Growth requires consistency. And growth in God requires surrendering. See, God doesn't just call you. God commits to changing you. Here's the last thing. We talk about answering God's great call on your life. Number four, you must intentionally choose to live on mission for the Lord. You've got to intentionally choose to live on mission for the Lord. Verse 20, Matthew chapter 4. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. They fishing, y'all. They fishing. Jesus walks up. Follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And the text says, immediately, they left their nets and followed him. A couple of verses later, John and his brother James hear the same message from Jesus, and the text says they left their nets and their father and said, we're following Jesus. What a compelling call that must have been for him to say, come and follow me. And they dropped everything. The text says immediately, no delay, no debate, no negotiation. Here's what I need you to understand. When you understand who is calling you, there should be no hesitation in your responding to his call. Now, when some folk call you, you may look at the phone and be like, nah, I ain't answering that. Matter of fact, some folk are so bad, they already blocked. So you know you ain't going to get a call from them, right? And if they call you from a strange number, you'd be like, oh, no, you didn't. I already blocked you from my, yeah, I'm trying to reach you, but I know if there's something wrong with your phone. No, ain't nothing wrong with my phone. I blocked you. But when God calls you, there should be no hesitation. And God says, I have a purpose for your life. Here they are with decisive obedience. They move from fishing for men to fishing for people. They move from making a living to making a difference. They move from following their plans to following God's purpose. They move from being defined by their past to being directed by their calling. I can't even explain to you what it feels like to walk in your calling. To walk in your purpose, to find that thing that moves you so that you do it for free if you could. Most of you have a job, and that job is a job. It's a J-O-B. It pays the bills. But for most of you, that's not a place where you find fulfillment. It's not a place where you find purpose. You don't wake up in the morning happy and excited, looking forward to going to the workplace. God is calling you not about position, but about purpose. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Can I tell y'all something that I've learned? And it's a game that we play on ourselves in church. Some of you are here today, and you're here because it's Easter. You're here because it's Resurrection Sunday, and he got up. Now, my question to you is, so what? He got up. What difference does it make in your life? And some of you have heard that content for years and years. He got up. Early on Sunday morning, y'all, come on, early on Sunday morning. Yes, sir. All power in his hands. What difference does that make in your life? How is that going to change how you live? See, you got the content. Now, today, you got a little conviction. You're like, ooh, I ain't know if I came here for all of this. I ain't come here to be challenged. I just came here for some pink and green and flowers and resurrection. So happy Easter, and we're going to eat good today. That's what I came for. But here's what God wants you to understand. The only way your life changes is to move from content through conviction to now a commitment to change your conduct. Are you going to change how you live? These fellas heard Jesus say, follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they had a choice. What are we going to do with what he said? Are we going to keep on fishing? Talking about, man, that dude that came through here, what was his name? He was a bad dude, man. Almost made me drop my nets and follow him. Or would we do what they did and leave their nets to follow him. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 13. Let's read it together. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. A rescue worker doesn't just admire people in danger. A rescue worker, when he sees people in danger, when she sees people in danger, they go in after them. And living on mission, living out God's purpose for your life, means making a personal commitment to become a disciple and living intentionally for God's glory. Recognizing that all of the contentment, all of the satisfaction, all of the peace, joy, and happiness you need in life comes from following him. So if you're going to answer God's call on your life, you must move from hearing to following to becoming to living on mission. If you're following Jesus, your life should be helping somebody else know him and helping somebody else grow in him. Remember what I said earlier, the greatest tragedy is hearing God's call and not answering it. Peter and Andrew answered immediately. James and John responded immediately. And because they answered, their lives were changed. Because they answered, the world was impacted. Because they answered, eternity was affected. Because they answered, we're here today. And the same Jesus is still walking by the shores of lives. He's still showing up in ordinary moments. He's still speaking with extraordinary authority. He's not calling a crowd. He's calling you. God is calling. And God says, now, stop ignoring me. Don't silence his voice with your excuses. Don't drown out his call with your distractions. Don't ignore God's instructions because of your intentions. Because when God speaks, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. When you hear him, don't delay saying yes to him. Don't say later. Don't say when I'm ready. Don't say, Lord, after I fix a few things, because if you could get them straight, they wouldn't be crooked right now. When he calls, don't debate with him. Don't negotiate his instructions. Don't try to edit his assignment. Don't say, well, God, I just got two more years and then I'll be ready. Because God is not looking for your opinion. God is looking for your obedience. And a delayed yes is a dangerous no. Let me say that again. A delayed yes is a dangerous no. So in this moment, I want to challenge somebody on this Resurrection Sunday with all power available to you to say yes. Before fear talks you out of it, say yes. Before doubt tries to dissuade you, say yes. Before comfort convinces you to stay where you are, say yes. Say yes to his will. Say yes to his way. Say yes to his mission. And don't be quiet with it. Don't be shy with it. Don't whisper the yes so nobody will hold you accountable. Say yes. Yes, God. Yes, I'll go where you want me to go. Yes, I'll do what you want me to do. Yes, I'll become who you want me to become. Because when you choose to say yes to God, man, you position God to say yes to you. And there's no greater blessings that can flow in your life like when God says yes to you. And God will use everything in you to help you become who he wants you to be. So don't just hear the call. Answer the call. Because when you say yes to God, you're not losing your life. You're finally finding your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for calling us even when we didn't deserve it. You give us ears to hear your voice clearly. Give us courage to obey you immediately. Give us humility to be changed by you completely. And give us boldness to live on mission for you daily. Help us not to just hear your call, but to answer it with our lives. And God, you remind us when you said, I will make you, that whatever we are lacking to do what you have called us to do, when we follow you, when we obey you, you will do the making to help us to become the tool, the instrument to be used to your glory. We love you and we thank you right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said amen. Amen. Everyone who can, everyone who will, if you would stand on your feet, those of you who are watching wherever you are, if you're here today, if you're watching today and you've never said yes to Jesus, the first call of the Lord is not to serve. The first call is to surrender. Jesus is calling you to surrender. To basically say, I'm not fighting anymore. I give up. I've tried my way. It's been good. Hasn't been great. I need to make a decision today. Not just turning from what you've been doing, but turning to him and trusting him. If you need to give your life to Christ, you have an opportunity to do that today. If you need to recommit your life, you have an opportunity to do that today. If you're ready to follow him fully, today is your moment to answer the call. Wherever you're watching, there's a QR code on the screen. Those of you who are watching can use that QR code, and there's quick links to show you how to ask the Lord into your life, how to become part of this church family, how to recommit your life to the Lord. If you just need somebody or want somebody to pray with you and pray for you, we will help you to do that. If you're here today, you can use that QR code in the sanctuary, or you can just come. The men and women who are up front and others who are all around you would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord in your life. We invite you right now, as a song of invitation has come, sung, you can come. Don't wait, don't dialogue or debate. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine providence. And if this message was for you, if you're sitting there saying, man, Pastor, you don't know, boy, you challenged me, then God wants you to do something with that. And I want to encourage you to come. Even if you don't know every step along the way, make the first step, and we'll walk with you step by step. Whether you believe this is the place for you or maybe somewhere else, it doesn't matter to me. I'm a kingdom of God guy. Right? It's not the kingdom of Good Hope. It's the kingdom of God. I just want to help you walk in God's purpose for your life. So as the song is sung, I want you to just come on. Tell the person next to you, excuse me, I got to take care of something. And come on and come.
I've been captured by a love I can't explain. Now you have me, and I'm forever changed. I've abandoned everything I've ever known. Lord, I surrender. My life is not my own. I belong to you. I belong to you. Everybody say, I've been captured.
I've been captured by a love I can't explain.
Now you have me.
Now you have me.
And I'm forever changed.
And I'm forever changed.
I've abandon.
I've abandoned
everything I've
ever known.
Lord, I surrender.
Lord, I surrender.
My life is not my own.
My life is
I
not
belong,
my own.
Yes.
I belong to you.
I belong, Lord.
I
yes.
belong.
I belong to you.
Every head bow, every eye closed. Every head bow, every eye closed. I want to pray for somebody today. You need to come. And when I say you need to come, I'm not talking about a physical coming this morning as much as I'm talking about a coming back to God. For somebody, maybe it's a coming to God, but for somebody else, it's a coming back to God. And here's what I'm sensing God saying to somebody today. You've been doing your thing. You've been doing your thing. But there's still a void. There's still an emptiness. And God is simply saying, I'm waiting on you. You can't even pretend like you're waiting on God. God is saying, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. And I want to encourage somebody today on whom God is waiting to make that step. Now, I want you to hear me. I'm not talking about joining the church. It's not about becoming a member of Good Hope. It's about you committing your life to God. Thank you, Lord. It's about you recommitting your life to God. One of the things that we talk about, and I talk about when I consult with companies, churches, organizations, is called mission drift. It's a company, you have a mission, you have a purpose, but you drift away from it. And that drift is so subtle that you'll look up one day and you'll be far away from where you're supposed to be. Right? You're supposed to be a cookie factory and you arguing about the orange juice you're making. And you're like, how do we get the orange juice? We're supposed to be a cookie factory. That's where we started. That's what we're supposed to do, right? I'm saying that to say somebody personally, you've experienced some drift, some mission drift in your life. And God is saying, what a powerful time to reset. Everybody say reset. Reset your life. And when you reset, listen to me carefully. Dan Heath in his book, Reset, said, a reset is not adding something new to what you're already doing. A reset is when you do something new instead of what you've been doing. And somebody needs a reset today. So every head bowed, every eye closed. If I can pray for you, for reset, for recommitment, I want you to just raise your hand and put it right back down. You don't have to keep your hand up. Just say, preacher, you talking to me. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. You talking to me. I see your hand back in the back. I see your hand. I see your hand. Amen. I see your hand. I see your hand on the side. I see your hand on the left. I see your hand on the right. Father, we come before you right now as humbly as we know how. We thank you. We thank you for first our sister Karen. We thank you for her life's journey, her history here. And we thank you, God, for the opportunity and privilege to welcome her home. We know heaven is smiling. We know at least two people who are smiling in heaven right now. And we thank you. for her decision. God, for those who are under the sound of my voice now who have raised their hands and some who needed to and didn't, who need to reset their lives, I pray for them right now, God. God, so many times in life, when it's time for us to reset, you will bring about some friction to get our attention. And sometimes the frictions are not enough and you'll fracture relationships to get our attention. And God, we hope and pray that we get the message before something fatal happens. And so God, I pray right now for those under the sound of my voice, those who are watching wherever they are in the world, that God, they would seek a personal reset with you. Help them to assess and see where they are. Help them to see where they're supposed to be and then give them a strategy to move from where they are to where they need to be. But in our message today, the disciples taught us that you don't have to wait long to make a shift. You can do it immediately. And so God, I pray that right now, if they can't do it physically, help them to do it immediately in their mind. Because you said in your word, as a person thinks in their heart, so they are. Help us to make the first step mentally so we can make the move we need to make in every other aspect and area of our lives. And may that reset, God, help them to walk in your purpose so that they can hear you say, well done. They can experience the joy of obedient living. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank God today. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. We've got two things we're going to do today. We're going to worship the Lord in giving, and then we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today, as is our tradition on the first